The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, you there. You can't ignore me.
No one can ignore me.
I'm Todd the announcer, and Eric lets me do his announcing. I'm always right there by his side to loudly announce everything he does.
Even things like coughing and sneezing.
His wife hates it.
And now, Eric Metaxas.
I hate it too, Todd. Todd, I hate it too. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm usually excited to do the show. We have really tremendous guests. But today, we're talking about a subject that's very, very close to my heart. It's called parenting. Have you heard of that? Parenting, raising boys, raising girls. I have recently been introduced to someone, Dr. Leonard Sachs, who is, as far as I'm concerned, a particular expert on these subjects. He's written two books. One is called The Collapse of Parenting, How We Hurt Our Kids When We Treat Them Like Grownups. And another book called Boys Adrift, The Five Factors Driving the Growing Epidemic of Unmotivated Boys and Underachieving Young Men. Nothing closer to my heart than these subjects. Dr. Leonard Sachs, welcome to the program.
Thanks for inviting me.
Can we get his microphone turned up a little bit? I have to say that when I heard about you and looked at these books, I thought this is, to my mind, you know, one of the most important things in public life today. And I know that you feel the same way. Now, just to get some background on you, so we know you're not just some guy who came off the street. You are, first of all, I'm very impressed. You got your you got your degree from MIT at the age of 19. So you're kind of smart. And that's really, I'm just hugely impressed by that. But you really have been devoting your career as a doctor to these kinds of issues. What was it originally that got you into this? Because I don't imagine when you think I want to go be a doctor that you think you're going to be writing books on parenting and on boys and that kind of stuff.
No, you're absolutely right. So I earned a doctorate in psychology at Penn, University of Pennsylvania, and also earned my MD there. Did my residency. But most family doctors don't have a doctorate in psychology.
Right.
I do. That's a little unusual. And so without my intending it, my practice kind of became a magnet for parents who were concerned about kids that their problems were having.
Right.
And very soon after I launched my practice, had this parade of parents bringing their kids, mostly boys, into my office with a note from the school saying, hey, Justin or Damien, whoever, not paying attention, would you please evaluate? Now, most family doctors, most pediatricians will refer that to a psychologist, but I'm very comfortable doing that evaluation. And I found that in the great majority of cases, that boy didn't have attention deficit disorder. Sometimes it was a boy who hated school. Now, hating school is a big problem, but it's not attention deficit disorder, and it should not be treated with medication. Sometimes the solution is to change the school rather than to put the boy on medication.
Right.
And then I started to wonder, why are the schools trying to get all the boys on medication?
Right.
Which has become a real issue in this country. According to the Centers for Disease Control, one in five American teenage boys is now medicated for ADD, which is an astonishing number. We are an outlier. No other country does this. And that led me to look into this and started writing about it.
Well, so and when was that? This is back.
That's back 20 years ago.
20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been looking into this for a long time. I mean, I wrote a book called Seven Men. And the reason I wrote that originally was because of what you're talking about. I said, I'm noticing a problem in our culture, a huge problem with with really understanding what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to grow up? I mean, years ago, you'd say, hey, be a man. And we kind of understood what that meant. We're now living at a time profoundly confused. And we have to go back to the basics and we have to say, have we drifted? And some people would say, yeah, it's good that we drifted. I would say, and I think you would say, it's horrible that we've drifted. Something is wrong. We're very confused. And so when I found out that you written these books, Boys Adrift and The Collapse of Parenting, I said, I want to have you on to talk about these because you truly are an expert. Now, The Collapse, let's focus in this hour on The Collapse of Parenting. It says, The Collapse of Parenting, How We Hurt Our Kids When We Treat Them Like Grown-Ups. Tell us about that.
I hate the subtitle. Eric, you may not know this, but non-celebrity authors don't get to choose their title or their subtitle.
Yeah, and you may not know this, but what you think of as celebrity authors also don't get to choose their subtitles. But anyway, go ahead.
So the title of the manuscript I sent to the publisher was The Collapse of American Parenting, and the subtitle was Why Most Kids Would Now Be Better Off Raised Outside the United States.
Oh.
Which I am a patriot, but unfortunately, empirically, that's true.
Okay.
Well, the publisher didn't like that, and they insisted on the subtitle you just read, which I really hate.
Okay.
I hate it because you have to treat children like grown-ups, meaning you have to expect your child to be mature, to demonstrate self-control.
Right.
That's part of your job as a parent. So I went 12 rounds with the publisher and lost.
Now, I wouldn't want to embarrass the publisher by mentioning their name, but I'm going to give out their initials. It is Basic Books. Okay. Basic Books. Shame on you. But thank you for publishing the work of my soon-to-be friend, Leonard Sachs. It's very impressive that you're dealing with the subject. I think most people listening know that something is screwed up with parenting, whether it's in our own families or in other families. It's real clear that we have lost the ability to understand how to do this. That we're it started with Dr. Spock in the 60s, roughly. So tell us, you know, what's your view?
I have been a medical doctor now for 32 years. I have witnessed firsthand the collapse of American parenting. Look, as recently as 20 years ago, parents didn't have a problem saying, do unto others. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. But over the last 20 years, I have seen that command soften, morph into a question. And the question is something like, well, how would you feel if someone did that to you? And the parent has no idea what to say when the son responds, if someone did that to me, I'd kick him in the nuts and then I'd sit on his face. Look, as
charming, charming young gentleman,
as a Christian, I regard scripture as a fundamental guide to how to parent. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And what? Well, the next line in most English translation is, you shall teach them diligently to your children. But that's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew there is vishinantam livenecha. It would be easy to say teach. The verb would be lamed, but that's not the verb. The verb is shanan. Shanan doesn't mean teach. Shanan means to chisel in stone. So a better translation there would be, inscribe them on the hearts of your children. Chisel them in the hearts of your children. That's your job as a parent. On the very next page of my book, The Collapse of Parenting, I quote a regular columnist, page 134. I quote a regular columnist for the New York Times, Jennifer Finney Boylan, who said in her column on enlightened parenting, she said, and I'm quoting now, enlightened parenting means setting your child free to discover for themselves their own right and wrong. And if in so doing they become a stranger to you, then so be it. That's not enlightened parenting. That's a dereliction of duty. If you set your child free to discover for themselves their own right and wrong, what they will discover is Akon, Eminem, 50 Cent, Miley Cyrus, Bruno Mars, Justin Bieber, Caitlyn Jenner. This culture has become a toxic culture, and by this culture I mean mainstream American culture, the culture that you see on the Grammy Awards and on Instagram and the internet. And that's not a guess. we have lots of good research supporting that statement.
There's no question, and it's why I'm so happy to have you on. Dr. Leonard Sachs is my guest. The book is The Collapse of Parenting. The other book is Boys Adrift. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back.
If not for you,
folks, I need your help. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa are under attack. Earlier this year, Boko Haram once again kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. This group's presence has spread beyond Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad, Benin, other countries. In the northern part of Nigeria, militant Fulani herdsmen are continuing to use any violent means necessary to take possession of everything in their path. In other parts of Africa, Christians are being targeted by fundamentalist and extremist groups. Even in countries such as Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, some Christians must worship in secret and they live in constant fear of being imprisoned. Imprisoned or worse for their beliefs. So through the Ministry of Open Doors, you can provide life-saving aid and critical support such as clothing, food, medical aid, vital training, Bibles, and Christian resources to these African believers. To find out more of all the ways you can help, please go to my website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Open Doors right at the top. Folks, they have a challenge grant of $50,000. There's no better time. I'm just asking you, please go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and click on Open Doors. Thank you.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's go. Pestfree.com, promo code SAVE20.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free, no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Imagine after a long day at work being welcomed to a wonderful night of rest by the best and most comfortable sheets imaginable. You can enjoy luxury sheets without the insane prices, and they're just a couple of clicks away at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is bringing quality, comfortable sheets in every style with the ability to mix and match to complement any decor. In April 2014, Vicki and Rich Fulop, a husband and wife team, started Brooklinen with the philosophy of making the most beautiful and comfortable home essentials without crazy prices. Brooklinen is now the fastest growing bedding brand in the world and has more than 25,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen is the only bedding endorsed by Mike Gallagher, and listeners to his show will receive an additional discount at checkout. Just use the promo code Gallagher. Upgrade your nightly routine that will help you feel more well-rested every day. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Gallagher at brooklinen.com.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. Julia, Julia.
Oh. Here it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about parenting. The book is The Collapse of Parenting by Dr. Leonard Sachs. He is sitting with me here in the studio. Dr. Sachs, welcome.
Thanks again.
Are you often confused with the other Dr. Sachs?
Who's the other Dr.
Sachs? Exactly. Who's the other Dr. Sachs? The one who wrote all those books on the man who mistook his wife for a hat.
Oliver Sacks, the late neurologist.
You're not confused with Oliver
not
Sacks.
At all. It's spelled differently.
I know that, but it doesn't sound different. Okay, so you're the author of The Collapse of Parenting and Boys Adrift. In hour two, I want to talk to you about Boys Adrift, but in this hour, let's focus on The Collapse of Parenting. You were just saying that the culture has become toxic. There is no question that it has become increasingly toxic. It's been toxic for a long time. I mean, the things that I was getting off the TV in the 70s were not exactly biblical, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And here we are. So what do you say in your book, The Collapse of Parenting?
Well, everything I say in all four of my books is really grounded in evidence. And one of the really compelling studies was published by UCLA. They looked at the most popular television shows targeting children and teens from 1960 through 2010. And then they ranked those shows on 16 measures of what the show was trying to teach, what was valued by the lead characters in the show. And they actually found great consistency from 1960 through 2000. What was most valued was, number one, being a good person, being kind, and number two, being a good friend and being liked. Whether that was the Andy Griffith Show in the 1960s, Happy Days in the 1970s, Family Ties in the 1980s, or Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the 1990s. Very consistent. Being famous and being wealthy was number 15 and number 16 from 1960 through 2000. Then between 2000 and 2010, American culture flipped upside down. And suddenly being famous and being wealthy went from bottom to top.
Can you give me an example? Because I find that sort of shocking.
2010, the most popular shows, Survivor, iCarly, The Voice. On those shows, being kind, being a nice person on The Survivor, that's for losers.
So we're talking about the reality show phenomenon, and I noticed this. It's one of the reasons I didn't watch reality shows, because there was something about the way they were produced, the tension, the negativity, the criticism, the nastiness, public nastiness toward people. I thought, this really is new. It's a new thing that you're seeing people being torn down publicly, humiliated, and this kind of naked Darwinian competition. It really was ugly.
And it's certainly not confined to television. So, for example, this year, the Grammy Awards, January 28th of this year, Bruno Mars was the big winner. He won 6 Grammys more than any other artist. The reporters called it the coronation of Bruno Mars. Best song of the year was a Bruno Mars song titled That's What I Like. And he's speaking to a woman he appears not to know. He says, baby girl, what's happening? I got a condo in Manhattan. I don't know if we're allowed to use bad language.
I got a condo in Manhattan.
Yes.
We are not allowed to use bad language. We'll bleep it out.
You and your blank invited. And then he commands her to turn around and drop it for a player. Offers her money, diamonds, shopping sprees in Paris. He's offering money for sex. And this is the best song of the year, in the opinion of the Recording Academy. The YouTube videos had over 1 billion views. You know, it was ironic at that same show, an African-American actress, Janelle Monáe, got up and gave a little sermon about how time's up for sexual harassment of any kind. And a moment later, a song celebrating sexual harassment, a man offering a woman money for sex, gets the Grammy for Best Song of the Year, because that's what I like. The culture has become confused. What message is a young man supposed to take from a ceremony where a song celebrating money for sex is
now? Because
the
I'm unfamiliar with
the year.
Because I'm unfamiliar with the song, I have to ask the novice question: is the song done in a voice that is potentially, or is perhaps meant to have been taken ironically? In other words, sometimes you have a song that tells a story and you realize it's not really promoting that agenda, but it's kind of you know, describing it in a way at a distance.
Yeah, I asked young people the same question because you can see I'm an old guy. But I work with young people. I work with people in their early 20s. And I asked them, is this song what it sounds like? They said, absolutely. And it's such a dramatic change in a fairly short period of time. I'm old enough to remember Meatloaf 40 years ago had a huge hit, Paradise by the Dashboard
Light. And by the way, that is a great song.
There are two young people, teenagers in a car who are being intimate, and they got a baseball announcer to say he's rounding first, he's heading for second.
That's Phil Rizzuto, man. They got Phil Rizzuto.
He's rounding third, he's heading for home, here comes the throw. And then the woman says,
Stop right there.
I gotta know right now before you go any further. Do you love me? Will you love me forever?
Do you need me? Forever?
Will you never leave me? Will you make me so happy for the rest of my life? Will you take me away and make me your wife?
I
have played this song for American high school kids coast to coast. And I asked them, what's going on in this song? And they'll say, well, they're fooling around. So what happens next? Why does the woman demand an offer of marriage? And the kids are baffled. And then a girl raises her hand and she said, well, they didn't have birth control back then. I said,
that's not true. They had plenty of birth control in 1978.
Yep. And so the kids are totally fuzzled. They are completely bemused because they...
I just want to say that song, okay, every time I hear it, I almost cry because it's so beautiful. It is asking the question of questions, right? In other words, it's this crucible of teenage passion and lust, which has been normalized since the 50s. But it asks that question, and it's, you know, the guy says the lie, you know. Of course he says that, you know, he wants to say yes, but then he says, I got to sleep on it, baby, got to sleep on it. Because he doesn't really want to lie. He just wants to have sex that moment.
Right.
And she is asking him this it's a heartbreaking question. Do you love me? Will you be with me forever? Are you going to marry me? Sometimes a song it's more than a song, you know, and that song, it typifies the culture at that time.
Well, I wish you could come with me when I speak to the high school kids because they are baffled. Because I explained to them, look, in ancient times, before you were born, a young woman would not consent to sexual intimacy without a promise of marriage. And they're still, you might as well be talking to them about the Roman Empire. This is completely different from the culture in which they live in. You know, Mark Regnerus had a really important book that came out earlier this year, didn't get the attention it deserved, titled Cheap Sex. And he begins, and he's talking about...
The title is Cheap Sex. By Mark Regnerus.
Yes, at the University of Texas. And he's writing from the perspective of a sociologist and an economist. And what he means by cheap sex is that the sex that young Americans are having doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah.
So one of the first studies...
Except their souls and their lives.
Except everything, but it doesn't cost them money or time
or
commitment.
Right.
One of the very first studies he cites, they interviewed young Americans, young men, young women, and they said, okay, before you had sexual intimacy, were you dating for a week, a month, 6 months? What's most common? The most common answer that young Americans now give to that question is that the sex came before the relationship. There are no bases anymore. Sex comes first, and if the sex is good, a relationship may follow or, more often, does not follow. That is contemporary American culture, and that is profoundly toxic.
Yeah.
And by toxic, I mean it greatly increases the risk of anxiety, depression, and disengagement. We've got good data on this point. You don't want your child to be immersed in this culture.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I think that this is something that it gets worse and worse. The reason parents don't push back sometimes is because they will say, well, when I was that age, and they have their own stories of smoking pot or, you know, sleeping with somebody or whatever. And I think that we've been drifting, obviously, from a biblical standard for many, many decades, but it gets worse. And the reason parents have been unable to push back is they have this guilt. Again, if they are not serious Christians, I would argue that if you're really serious about your faith, that you can take a stand, and you can take a standard just like I can in my life. And I can say, before I became a Christian, I didn't get this. I was not some horrible person, but I didn't understand this. And I made mistakes. Those were wrong. And I don't want my kids or anybody I know to make these mistakes. But if you don't have that, you just say, well, who am I to say? I disobeyed my parents. And, you know, it's confusing. And so you throw your kids to the wolves. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking with Dr. Leonard Sachs. It's S-A-X, not S-A-C-H-S, S-A-X, Dr. Leonard Sachs. The book is The Collapse of Parenting. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Surprise, it'll feel all right. Well, I want to make it more wrong. And now I've got the whole soul.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free, no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Are you a timeshare owner that would like to get out of your timeshare the right way? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list for 2018. Now is the time to make the call to simplify your life. We have an excellent track record and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So if you want to get rid of those high maintenance fees and annual bills for vacations you never take, call 844-284-4863 or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's 844-284-4863. For over a decade, we have been working in timeshare owner advocacy to help those stuck in timeshares. Let us help you with a legal and ethical solution. Call us today for a private, no-obligation consultation. We will give you a solution that will get you out of your timeshare once and for all. Call 844-284-4863 or LoneStarTransfer.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Let me sleep on it, baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it, I'll give you an answer in the morning. Let me sleep on it, baby, baby, let me sleep on it. Let me sleep on it, I'll give you an answer in the morning. Let me sleep on it, baby, baby, let me sleep on it.
Hey, folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show, and we're listening to Meatloaf. And why are we listening to Meatloaf? Because I'm talking to Dr. Leonard Sachs, who's written a book on parenting, The Collapse of Parenting. By the way, folks, I recommend these books really highly. Leonard Sachs, another book, Boys Adrift. We'll talk about that in another hour. But what you were just saying, Dr. Sachs, with regard to norms, even in 1978 or 9 when this came out, when the Meatloaf song came out, it was even quaint, a little quaint back then. In other words, there were plenty of people who had moved past that already. But the idea that he was giving voice to this, which many young women were saying, like, I'm not okay with uncommitted sex. Like, maybe I will stray, I will drift, but wait a minute. Do I know what I'm doing? Do you are you serious about me? Do you care about me? Or are you just treating me like an object, like a nothing to be used now and to be forgotten tomorrow? That's the question. And what you're saying is that young women today have exceeded in this. They no longer either have the self-respect or something to even ask that question.
Well, that's one of the things that's so troubling. Again, we have these longitudinal cohort studies, meaning that researchers recruit a bunch of kids at 12, 13, 14 years of age, and then follow them for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And what they find is that if a girl is sexually intimate with a boy at 14 or 15 or 16 years of age, she is much more likely to become depressed subsequently. Incidentally, that turns out not to be true for boys. The boy who's having a lot of sexual activity with girls in his teen years, he's fine with that. There's some really fundamental differences between girls and boys. Many teenage boys think they're fine with a one-night stand. Now, again, we've got other research showing that down the road, that boy may have difficulty sustaining a romantic relationship.
Right.
But he doesn't become anxious and depressed.
But everybody knows that studies prove that teenage boys are stupider and shallower than teenage girls. So it makes perfect sense.
Well, we do have, as you just alluded to, good research showing that the brains mature at different rates.
Yeah.
A girl reaches full maturity in brain development by about 22 years of age. Boys don't reach maturity in brain development until about 30.
Is that? That's amazing.
Years of age. That explains a lot.
No, but that's really, it's fascinating. Well, but look, this is besides the point. The point is, where are the parents? Like when you talk about 14, 15, 16-year-olds having sex, I think, where are the parents? Do the parents not care?
They do care. And parents will say, look, Dr. Sachs, I hate the title of your book, The Collapse of Parenting. You're blaming parents. And I say, no, I'm not blaming parents. Look, I'm a parent. I understand how difficult it is to be the virtuous parent when nobody else on the block is doing this. One of the very concrete suggestions I make to parents is, hey, if your teenager has a mobile phone, they should not have that phone in the bedroom with them. You take the phone every night at 9 o'clock, the very latest. You put it in the charger, which stays in the parents' bedroom.
Yeah.
They can have it back tomorrow morning. Look, parents are amazed to discover that half the 10th grade class is awake and on their phones texting at 2 in the morning. At 2 in the morning, your daughter's getting a text, OMG, Jason and Emily just broke up. This is really big news. We'll have to talk about this. And they're all up for an hour in the middle of the night. Look, you know, some of the issues you and I are talking about are not easy to fix. This one's real easy to fix. You take the phone, you turn it off, you put it in the charger in the parents' bedroom. Look, it's not reasonable to put this burden on your 14-year-old, 15-year-old
daughter. But I think that parents, generally speaking, you say parents aren't to blame. It takes guts to be a parent.
Yes.
And you have to have the guts to stand up to your kid.
Well, that's
and a lot of parents don't have the guts
about.
To
it's
do
about
that.
About giving parents the courage. You know, what is your daughter supposed to say tomorrow morning in school when your friend says, hey, I texted you last night at midnight. How come you didn't answer? Is your daughter supposed to say, well, studies have shown that sleep deprivation in adolescence is a major risk factor for depression. Come on, that's ridiculous. You can't expect your daughter right. to say that. You have to allow her to say, hey, my evil parents take my phone every night at home. Won't we have it back to the next morning? It's your job to be the evil parents. And then I'll warn parents. I'll say, look, when you go home and you tell your daughter, hey, I'm going to start taking your phone every night at 9, she may not applaud. She may protest. She may say, well, I use it as my alarm clock. Let her know they still make actual alarm clocks. You can go to the store and buy one. And now she really gets upset. She may explode. She may say, but what if there's an emergency? Remind her you still have a landline, a house phone. If there's a true emergency, her friend is welcome to call the house phone in the parent's bedroom, and you, the parent, will pick up. This has to be your call. There are some domains where the parent has to make the call, overruling their child.
That's shocking. And I suspect you're a bigot. You just hate children. No, this is so important. Folks, you know how close this is to my heart. And it's just wonderful to be talking to you, Dr. Leonard Sachs. There are two books that I have in front of me. One is called The Collapse of Parenting. We're talking about that right now. I recommend it in hour or two today, or we're going to record a second hour talking about Boys Adrift, the five factors driving the growing epidemic of unmotivated boys and underachieving young men. Folks, this is big stuff. It's more important than politics in case you're scoring at home. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
24 hours away, girl, without you, I am spending all that I knew.
Alvin.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I take Relief Factor?
Yes, you did.
I take Relief Factor because running causes me sometimes back pain or hip pain or whatever. You know, a lot of people have experiences with different kinds of pain. And you don't want to take something that is toxic, right? I don't want to be like popping Advil or whatever. I take Relief Factor because it's made from botanicals. You can take it all day long. For example, a guy named Michael from Connecticut gives us his point of view. He says, Relief Factor helped to almost completely eliminate my elbow pain when I couldn't find any other solution. It's a great product, has helped with a lot of other aches and pain. Since I started Relief Factor, I feel like I've got more energy and generally feel better. That's why I take it. Hey, I don't take it for my health. Oh, no, actually, I do. I do take it for my health. But it's interesting because people, I think that they have to put up with pain. My advice is try Relief Factor. The Quick Start Kit is only $19.95. Try it for 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. One thing we expect in politicians is honesty. And Nancy Pelosi is very honest when it comes to taxes. She was asked by a reporter if her plan was to raise taxes should Democrats take back the House this fall. Her answer, that is accurate. Since the tax cut law passed in December, millions of Americans have seen real money in their pockets, either through bonuses and raises or less money being taken out of their paychecks. And the Democrats are determined to reverse that course. They're ignoring stories of business owners like Joe, owner of Joseph's Light Cookies, who was able to give his employees raises of thousands of dollars, in his words, because of tax cuts. Or Carlos Ruiz, owner of HD Metals in Arizona, who is hiring more and investing in the business to make it grow, all because of this tax cut law. These stories are all across America, from business owners to employees who are seeing more in their paychecks. The tax cut law is working, and you should let Congress know. Go to taxcutswork.com and email a letter to your congressman telling them to keep their hands off your tax cuts. It's your money. Go to taxcutswork.com now. Email a letter. That's taxcutswork.com.
Amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
Bring home the number one inspirational movie of the year. I Can Only Imagine, now on DVD. With 3 hours of extras, including a behind-the-scenes look at Mercy Me and more. The story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, and so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Available now on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital. Rated PG.
Spearfishing has or will strike your business, wreaking havoc on your employees, brand, and your bottom line. Spearfishing can't be stopped by traditional email security solutions because messages appear to be legitimate from your boss, a trusted colleague, or a vendor asking you to wire money, confirm login credentials, or worse. Barracuda Sentinel is artificial intelligence for real-time spear phishing and cyber fraud defense. Reclaim your email in minutes with zero impact on network performance. Visit barracuda.com/AI.
Hey, Albin.
What?
You just woke up. Yeah, I can't believe you're sleeping. You're not getting enough sleep at night. Probably it's your pillow.
Can I make
a suggestion?
Yeah.
My Pillow. Have you heard about My Pillow?
We met the
inventor, Mike Lindell. He's now become a friend because he's the warmest, craziest, wonderful entrepreneur. I mean, he's an American original. But he decided to do something, and I want my listeners, that's you, to listen. He said, for my listeners, My Pillow is right now offering 50% off the four-pack. 50% off the four-pack. It includes two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. Why not? If it's 50% off, why not get them for everybody you know? Call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric, or go to mypillow.com. Use the promo code Eric, or you could use the promo code Metaxas. Either way, 50% off. If you use Eric or Metaxas, call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, mypillow.com.
You drown your sorrows till you can't stand up. Take a look at what you've done to yourself. Why don't you put the bottle back on the shelf? Yellow finger from your cigarettes. Your hands are shaking while your body sweats. Why don't you look into Jesus? He got the answer.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. Leonard Sachs, a parenting expert. And yeah, he is an expert. If you had the bio in front of you as I do, you'd say, boy, this guy's a bona fide expert. He has spoken on child and adolescent development, not only in the U.S., but also in Australia, Bermuda, Canada, England, Germany, Italy, Mexico, New Zealand, Scotland, Spain, Switzerland, on and on and on. He's been on CNN, Fox News, NPR, PBS, Cuckoo Cuckoo. We'll just continue the conversation with him. Dr. Sachs, I think parenting is it's right at the core issue of our time. So you're talking about parents having to stand up to their kids, put the phone away at 9 o'clock. I think my theory is that just we no longer, you know, have we just don't have the guts anymore. A lot of people just say they just don't seem to be able to, or they say, or my wife. You don't even have that in marriages. In other words, maybe the wife says, oh, that's being harsh. And the husband has to understand that you and your wife have to get together and you have to agree on this stuff. You can't just have laissez-faire parenting. But a lot of times that's what it ends up being. It's laissez-faire parenting. I'm guilty of that as well. I mean, it's very tough to parent.
Well, and you just touched on a key issue, which is often mom and dad do not agree. And it can really become an issue. And they'll come in and talk with me, and I'll say, look, this is not just my opinion. The American Academy of Pediatrics has studied this issue at length, and they have issued guidelines which are very clear and which I provide. No phones in the bedroom. No screens in the bedroom. Kids need to have a chance to sleep at night. And if there's a phone and a video game console in the bedroom and your son's up at 2 a.m, bad things happen and they're not getting enough sleep. Social media. We got 12-year-olds on Instagram and the parents don't even know what's going on. If you're going to allow your child to be on social media, you need to know what they're doing. And I talk about apps that allow you to govern and limit and guide what your kids are doing, because we've got an explosion of 12, 13-year-old girls posting photos of themselves in swimsuits on Instagram. This is not a good thing. Parents need to know what their kids are doing. They need to teach self-control. Another big point I make in the book is, okay, what's our job as parents? You know, it's not a guess. We've got these good studies where researchers have followed kids for 30 years, from infancy to 32 years of age. What factor best predicts health, wealth, and happiness in a young person at 32 years of age? When you're looking at a 12-year-old, is it what grades they get in school? Is it how friendly they are? Is it openness to new ideas? No, it's self-control. Virtue and character predict health and wealth and happiness 20 years down the road. So it's your job to teach virtue and character. It's not a sermon. It's a robust empirical finding. Meaning, and that's just a fancy way of saying that all the scientists who've studied this over the last 30 years come to the same conclusion. When you follow kids from childhood into adulthood, the kid who has virtue and character is going to do much better in terms of health, wealth, and happiness down the road than anything else. So your job is to teach virtue and character, to teach self-control. But, you know, you and I are sitting here in New York City. We're not far from Times Square. I took a photograph in Times Square, the big Pepsi billboard that the slogan is live for now. Don't worry about the sugar. Live for now. If it feels good, do it. Live for now. Whatever floats your boat.
Thank you, Pepsi. Who's the CEO of Pepsi?
That is.
I just love these gutless corporate slobs that they don't care about anything except the bottom line. I mean, I have to say, nothing makes me angrier than the gutlessness of corporate executives in America, that they do not care. They do not have the ability to say what messages that's sending. They obviously don't care. Who's the head of Pepsi today that he would say that that's okay?
But this is so pervasive in American culture now. Live for now. Whatever floats your boat, if it feels good, do it. It's undermines the teaching of virtue and character.
But I mean, can you imagine? Everybody knows live for now is the stupidest thing ever said in the history of the world. I mean, it makes me want to boycott Pepsi. Folks, boycott Pepsi over this. I mean, that is so bad. And this is the reason I get angry is that because it's hard enough to be a parent, but we're living now in a culture that's so sick down to the level of Pepsi that it is very difficult to be a parent because all of these idiotic, perverse, pernicious messages they're coming from everywhere. And I think as parents, we have to take a strong stand. We have to get angry. You have to say, this is not only unacceptable, it's nearly criminal that you are talking to my kids in a public space and you're sending out these messages, which are they're the worst messages you could send. And again, that's not even it's not a sexual message, but it implies sexual. It implies everything. And, you know, here we are.
You know, as a clinician, I have counseled good parents husband and wife, loving parents, Christian parents, who are baffled that their son has gone so far astray, is disrespectful, is hateful. And they're, where did this come from? They ask me, because we never taught this. Well, he's got a phone. He's got a laptop in his bedroom. So he's immersed in this culture, and the culture is toxic. That's where it's coming
well,
from.
Well, I mean, I think he would be immersed in the back of my hand if he was my son. But, you know, I really do think that when I think young men especially have to understand, you cannot disrespect your parent. If you do, you're going to be called out instantly. That's non-negotiable. I don't even care if I'm wrong as the parent. You cannot disrespect me. I'm your father. I'm your mother. That cannot fly.
Well, you've hit on another point, which I really explore in the book, because a lot of people misunderstand that. You're saying, oh, they'll say, you're saying you should, kids should never disagree with their parents? I said, no,
we're not saying that.
I'm saying, look, it's if my daughter says to me, Dad, I think you're wrong, and here's why I think you're wrong. Here's point A, point B, point C. That's great. I celebrate
that. You can
say
anything you want respectfully. Go ahead.
It is never acceptable for a child to say to a parent, you don't know what the you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not allowed, and yet I see it in my
office.
Well,
and again, parents are allowing it. And shame on them, folks. Man, this is important stuff. We're going to be right back for a final segment with Dr. Leonard Sachs. That's S-A-X. Check out The Collapse of Parenting. Your help. Our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa are under attack. Earlier this year, Boko Haram once again kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. This group's presence has spread beyond Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad, Benin, other countries. In the northern part of Nigeria, militant Fulani herdsmen are continuing to use any violent means necessary to take possession of everything in their path. In other parts of Africa, Christians are being targeted by fundamentalist and extremist groups. Even in countries such as Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, some Christians must worship in secret, and they live in constant fear of being imprisoned or worse for their beliefs. So through the Ministry of Open Doors, you can provide life-saving aid and critical support such as clothing, food, medical aid, vital training, Bibles, and Christian resources to these African believers. To find out more of all the ways you can help, please go to my website, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner for Open Doors right at the top. Folks, they have a challenge grant of $50,000. There's no better time. I'm just asking you, please go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and click on Open Doors. Thank you.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Elton John. I'm Eric Metaxas. And my guest is Dr. Leonard Sachs, parenting expert. You really are a parenting expert.
Thank you.
Of the best kind, because you seem to really understand this stuff. That's why I wanted to have you on the program. We're talking about your book, The Collapse of Parenting. You have another book called Boys Adrift. We'll get to that in a subsequent hour. But we just have a few minutes left. What else can we say on the subject of parenting that we haven't covered in the next few minutes?
Well, the bulk of my book is giving parents some very simple, practical strategies that can make a difference, that I've seen make a difference in the families I've counseled over many years. You got to fight for supper at home. We've got good research showing that the more evening meals you have with your child in the home, the less likely your child is to be anxious and depressed, the more likely they are to have a positive self-concept. You got to fight for supper at home. No devices at the dinner table. When you're in the car, your child should not have earbuds listening to Miley Cyrus or Justin Bieber. You should be listening to her. She should be listening to you.
I came up with something I'd like to share with the group. This is like an encounter group. I'd like to share something with the group. When my daughter is in the car and she's on her phone and stuff, I came up with this phrase, and I'm proud of it, so I thought I would share it. I said to my daughter, Anna Rose, you understand, car time is our time. And, you know, she laughs, but I say it all the time. I say car time is our time. We're family. You've got to talk. You can't be tuning out. You can't whatever. I think that that is really – I'm glad you said it. It's very important that we're kids understand that.
Yeah, we're all in a rush. Time in the car is private time. It should be just you and her. It's a time to listen, a time to hear what you have to say. Ban the bedroom. Researchers find that typical American family, mother, father, son, and daughter come home within 5 minutes. They're each in a different room of the house looking at a different screen. You can't have a strong family if the family's not physically together. And I want you to know I practice what I preach. My daughter's doing her homework on her laptop at the kitchen table. I'm sitting at the kitchen table answering emails. I'm not trying to entertain her. But she started whistling her favorite song, which happens to be the Bach Little Fugue at the moment. And I came in on the second voice, and my wife came in on the third voice, and we kind of muddled through. And it was a great little family moment.
I don't see that happening in my house, but good luck to those of you at home listening to this program. That's so sweet. That
Keep
is so wonderful.
Keep the family together. It doesn't cost anything to do this.
Yeah.
Just have the family physically together in one room. 30, 40 years ago, that was common. Today,
right.
It's less common.
In my day, the woman would be churning butter. Dad would be whittling.
One television. The child should not have their own television in the bedroom. If you're
right.
going to watch TV, you should be sitting in a family room watching together
right.
as a family, not
right.
each person watching their own screen.
Well, and that's the other problem with screens and the way things are going. Isn't it amazing how the invisible hand of the market can deliver poison to us? Everybody acts like, oh, the free market's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing if the people are asking for the right stuff. Otherwise, it'll give us better pornography, better drugs, better ways to destroy our lives.
Parents
if that's what we're looking for.
Parents need to be in charge for their kids.
Unbelievable. It's just been a joy speaking with you, Dr. Leonard Sachs. Do you have your own website?
Okay. LeonardSachs.com.
LeonardSachs.com. I should have bought that, and I could have charged you so much money for it. LeonardSachs.com. Folks, please go there. And this is the Eric Metaxas Show. We are at Metaxas Talk. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Sachs.
Thank you.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.